Welcome to this advanced Ableton Live 12 lesson on building kick weight with crunchy sampler texture for jungle and old school drum and bass vibes. Today we're not just making a kick louder, we're building a kick that feels like part of the low end groove system. Something with sub weight, punch, and that dusty, sampler era bite that sits beautifully inside chopped breaks and dark bass lines. If you've already got the basics down, this is where things get fun, because we're going to think in layers and rolls. One layer owns weight. One layer owns definition. One layer owns attitude. That mindset is huge in drum and bass, because a kick that sounds amazing solo can still fall apart once the break, bass, and arrangement start moving at 174 BPM. Start by choosing the right source. Don't grab the cleanest, most sterile kick you can find unless you plan to add a lot of character later. Better choices are a solid analog-style kick, a 90s rave or jungle kick, a short 808 with a clear transient, or even a kick pulled from an old break sample. You want something with a strong fundamental somewhere around 45 to 70 Hz, enough punch around 90 to 150 Hz, and enough mid-range to tail that it can take processing without turning into mush. Now build a drum rock on a MIDI track and create three chains, sub kick, punch kick, and crunch layer. This gives you direct control over each part of a sound. Let's start with the sub kick. This is your foundation. Load the kick into simpler, keep it in classic mode, and turn warp off unless you absolutely need timing correction. Set the start point close to the transient, keep the fade minimal, and shape the envelope so the attack is instant. The decay is short, and the release stays tight. We want this layer to feel stable and clean, not floppy. Then use EQA to clean up the bottom. If there's sub rumble below the useful range, gently high pass around 25 to 30 Hz. If the kick feels boxy, cut a bit around 200 to 350 Hz. If it's missing authority, a broad boost around 50 to 70 Hz can help, but don't overdo it. Finally, use utility to keep the low end centered. If there's any stereo content down there, collapse it. The goal is a solid low frequency floor. Next is the punch kick. This layer is about the front edge and the body that reads on smaller speakers. Load the sample into simpler again. Use one-shot mode, keep the start point near the transient, and shorten the envelope so it stays focused. A decay between about 80 and 180 milliseconds usually works well here. Add saturator next. Just a few decibels of drive is often enough. Turn soft clip on so the layer gains density without ugly peaks. Then use EQA to shape the punch. If the kick sub is too much for this layer, cut it out. If it needs more body, try a boost around 100 to 140 Hz. If the transient is too sharp, tame some of the bite around 2 to 5 kHz. After that, use drum bus lightly. A touch of drive can make this layer feel more alive, and a little transience can add snap. Just be careful with boom and DNB. Too much boom and the kick starts smearing into the bass line. Now for the most important part of the lesson. The crunch layer. This is where the old school jungle attitude comes in. You can build this layer by duplicating one of your kick layers, or by sampling the kick again and processing it more aggressively. This is where sampler can give you a bit more control than simpler. Load the kick into sampler, keep playback in classic mode, turn loop off, and shorten the sample so it becomes more percussive. You're not trying to create another full kick here. You're trying to create a dirty rhythmic shadow of the kick. Then filter it. Auto filter works great here. A band pass or high pass setting usually makes sense, because this layer should live more in the mid-range bite than in the sub. Add a little drive if needed, but keep it controlled. After that, push it through saturator with more drive than the punch layer. This is where the body starts to crack and growl. Then add redux carefully. A small amount of bit reduction or downsampling can give you that sampled, slightly broken digital texture that feels very at home in jungle. Finally, use EQA to strip out anything below about 120 to 180 Hz, so it doesn't fight the sub layer. If it gets harsh, clean up the upper mids a little. You want the useful crack, not ugly fizz. At this stage, solo each layer and listen to what each one is actually doing. This is one of the biggest coach notes in the whole lesson. Check phase before you chase tone. If the kick feels weak, it's often not because it needs more EQ or more distortion. Sometimes one layer just needs to move a few samples earlier or later so the low end locks in properly. Nudge the sub or punch layer and listen for the moment when the kick suddenly gets firmer. That lock is gold. Now blend the layers together. A good starting point is to keep the sub kick as your reference, bring the punch kick in a few decibels lower, and tuck the crunch layer quite a bit lower still. Remember, the crunch is there to support the kick, not replace it. Use Spectrum, If you want to visually confirm that the low end is stable and that the texture layer isn't bringing unnecessary mud into the mix, once the layers feel good, group them and process the kick bus. A gentle EQ8 cut around 250 to 400 Hz can clear out cloudiness. Then add glue compressor very lightly, just enough to make the layers feel like one sound. Keep the ratio around 2 to 1, use a moderate attack, so the transient can still breathe and only aim for a few decibels of gain reduction. After that, a touch of saturator can add final density and soften peaks, and utility helps you check mono compatibility and trim output so you preserve headroom. Now think about how this kick behaves in a jungle arrangement. In this style, the kick is often part of a call and response with the break and the bassline. So don't just make one static version and leave it there. Create variations. Try a cleaner kick for the intro, a more saturated version for the main drop, and a shorter, crunchier version for fills or transition moments. You can even make one version with a little pitch drop at the start for that classic rave and jungle thump. Another great trick is to create a parallel byte channel. Duplicate the kick group, process the copy heavily with saturator, redux, and upper mid EQ, then blend that back in very quietly. That gives you edge without destroying the main body. And because this is a bassline-focused lesson, the kick has to work with the bass, not against it. If your bassline is heavy in the sub, the kick needs to punch and get out quickly. Use sidechain compression on the bass so the kick can carve out space without creating huge pumping. In DNB, you usually want dynamic interaction, not exaggerated dance-pop-style pumping. The kick should hit, the bass should step back just enough, and then the groove should recover quickly. Automation is another big part of making this feel alive. Instead of leaving the kick texture exactly the same the whole track, automate things like saturator drive, redux amount, filter cutoff, or even the punch from drum bass. Raise the grit a little before a drop. Open the filter slightly in the last 8 bars. Push the crunch layer during a transition. Small moves like that make the arrangement breathe. A few common mistakes to avoid here. Don't overload the sub-region with too many layers. Keep only one layer responsible for true low-end weight. Don't distort everything from the start, or the kick will lose its impact. Don't ignore the transient, because in a dense jungle mix, a soft kick can disappear fast. And always check the sound in context at the actual tempo. A kick that feels massive at low volume in solo may be too long or too bright once the full 170+ BPM groove is moving. One more pro tip: tune the kick to the track if needed. If the song is centered around a strong tonal root, the kick's fundamental can support that key. And if you want a more authentic jungle feel, don't be afraid to add tiny bits of break texture or sampled grit. A tiny snip of an amen, a bit of percussion, or even some noisy vinyl character, filtered hard and tucked low, can make the kick feel like it belongs in the same world as the chopped break. Here's a great practice exercise. Build 3 versions of the same kick, one clean and weighty, one with stronger punch and one with full crunchy sampler texture. Then write a 2-bar jungle loop at 172 BPM with a chopped break, a sub bass, and one of those kick versions on the downbeat. Add one extra kick fill before the loop repeats. Listen for which version leaves the best space for the bass line, which one feels most old school, and which one survives best when the full mix is playing. If you want to push it further, make a 3-state kick system. One version for foundation, one for club impact, and one destroyer version for fills and transitions. Keep all of them coming from the same source kick. That's a really powerful way to stay coherent while still getting variation across the track. So the big takeaway is this: a great jungle or old school DNB kick isn't just a single sample. It's a layered system with a clear role for every part. Sub, punch and crunch, stable, controlled, and gritty in the right places. When you get that balance right, the kick stops sounding like a basic drum hit and starts behaving like a real part of the low-end rhythm section. That's the sound: heavy, characterful, and locked into the break. Now go build it, tune it in context, and let it hit with attitude.